And so to do that, we're going to play a little game called ReactoFace. Okay, if you've never played this before, then this is a first for me, just as much as it is for you. Okay, very simply, I'm going to show you a number of things on screen, and you've got to put on the face that would be your reaction. Okay, so for example, if you're happy, can I see some happy faces? Should be quite simple. Brilliant. Yeah, okay. Some sad faces. Okay, some confused faces, because you haven't got any idea what I'm talking about up here. Excellent. Okay, so so go through. They're different kind of foods. So you've got to imagine, okay, that if I'd have bought a kind of 100 or so pieces of these, I'd have handed them all out. Would have taken a lot longer and got messy and all that sort of stuff. So we didn't go there. But if we go to the first one up, please. So lemon, a good big suck of a piece of lemon. What face would your reaction be? Let's see. Some people got kind of looking like they're quite happy with that one. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Marmite, big spoonful of Marmite, okay? So is that something you're like, oh, that's... So we see, again, we're seeing some happy faces. We're seeing some absolutely disgusted faces. Nowhere. And there's a spoon going near your mouth. Okay, let's have the next one. Some chocolate. Yeah. Licking of lips going on over here, yeah. Hoping that this is actually going to turn into a reality and actual chocolate. No, it's not. Right. Okay, let's have the next one. Brussels sprouts. Oh, yeah. Oh, we love Brussels sprouts, don't we? Yeah. Love a bit of a Brussels sprout. Why wait till Christmas, I say? Bring them out regularly. Yes. Okay, let's have the next one. Some olives. Okay. Some olives, yeah. Yeah. I made the mistake the other day. I bought some olives, but I bought one having not realizing you can get them with or without stones. So I bought some with stones in, and you're throwing them in. No, that's not good. Okay, so the next one. Popping candy. Who doesn't love a bit of popping candy? Few very terrified faces going on there. Really not sure about that. Okay. And I have one more for you. Okay. This is a Carolina Reaper chili. Okay. All you're gonna get here is if you licked it. Okay. Because it is, on the scale of Scoville heat units, it's 1,569,300 units, which is 500 times hotter than Tabasco. Okay. So imagine I've passed it out with some kind of radioactive proof gloves, and you've had a good lick. What we? A few people are looking a bit nonplussed there, as if, like, yeah, that sounds good, let's take a bite. Okay. We're going to look at a story shortly for all about Jesus and Luke chapter 5, when he called his first disciples. Okay. And particularly, I want to think about some of the reactions that we see within this story. Okay. But before we read from the Bible, to watch this.
For those who didn't see on the screen just there, it says some 2,000 years ago, imagine some fishermen were sitting after having a busy night at a cafe somewhere near the Lake of Gennesaret.
Oh, guys, you missed it all. You missed it all. After you left this morning... What? You look half asleep. Oh, you missed... Oh, after... Like, let me fill you in. Okay. After, okay, we'd kind of attempted to fish last night. Obviously, we caught absolutely... Did you catch anything? No, I didn't catch anything either. Okay. So, we're tidying up our nets. I'd seen you guys had headed off, obviously, to get a comfy seat and catch a few Zeds. Okay. And so, suddenly, this guy, Jesus, you know the one they've been talking about? Okay, he's suddenly moving along the beach, and there's a crowd with him, okay? And next thing I know, he just steps into Simon, you know, Simon Peter, steps into his boat, okay? And he asks Simon to push the boat out of it. So Simon pushes the boat out a little bit from shore, and Jesus sits down, and he starts teaching the people. And he's telling them things, different kind of things they should do, things they shouldn't do, all about God and that sort of stuff. And after a while, the people kind of, you know, he finishes up sort of thing. And then I just overheard him. He turns to Simon and he says, push out, you know, into deeper water, throw your nets out to get a catch. Now, obviously, if we'd have been there, we'd have known, you know, kind of we'd been there all night, okay, and didn't catch an absolute thing. So why would you bother going out again? But for some reason, okay, Simon says, well, as it's you, and he used this word, Lord, and he said, okay, well, we'll do it. So Simon's boat heads out, okay, And we're kind of watching this because, I mean, why would anyone have gone out again, having spent the entire night, having caught nothing? So kind of Simon's boat, it heads out a little bit from shore, okay? And then I can just about make, you know, Simon throw the net over the side, okay? And apparently, so I heard later on, apparently the net just filled with fish, almost instantaneous. I know, I couldn't believe it either when I heard it. Just instantly. And the boat kind of started rocking from side to side because of the weight of the fish. And I then heard Simon yelling to James and John, you know, the sons of Zebedee. That's it, yeah, Zebedee, okay? And they come over, and they're trying to help. And I'm looking at this, okay, and you can see the two boats again. And the boats, they're starting to sink because of the weight of the amount of fish. Now, we're talking a lot of fish. I mean, have you ever had that happen? I've never had that happen. I've caught a lot of fish in my time. You know, we're talking some big ones as well. You know, really, really big ones. But I've never had my boat start to sink. And this was both boats sort of thing. And apparently then Simon kind of fell on his knees or something and was telling this Jesus guy to get away from him because Simon was sinful or, and I don't know, anyway. But Jesus, apparently, his response was, well, you know, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to catch people. But it gets weirder then, because then Simon kind of brings the boat in and they all get out and they leave it there. And they just wander off following Jesus. You really missed it. It was quite a storm. Anyway, I've got to go. I've got to still come up with an excuse why I didn't catch any fish last night. My wife will not be impressed, I'm sure. But I'm sure I can rumble something. Anyway, I'll catch you guys later. Yeah, thanks. That reading, as you may have been aware, is from Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls his first disciples. I'm going to read it through from the Bible now. Follow it on the screen. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. I don't know if that's a story you've heard before. Maybe it's a story you've kind of half remember bits of it. Jesus getting in a boat, teaching people, lots of fish, that sort of thing. I want to give you a moment just to, again, turn to the people you were discussed praying with a minute ago, and just ask the question, what was your favourite bit in that story? Is there one bit that jumps out and you go, "I love that bit when that happens," or "that's the bit that really caught my attention," or really kind of, you go, "would that really have happened?" So just going to give you, you know, 30 seconds or so, just turn to the person next to you, whoever you were praying with earlier, and share, what is it, what's the favourite bit, what bit did you like in that story? Okay, I don't know, as I said, whether that's the first time you maybe heard that story. Maybe you heard it many years ago. Maybe it's a story you really like, and it's one of those passages that, you know, if people say, "What's your favourite Bible story?" you'd say, "Well, that's actually one of them." Maybe it's one you kind of go, "Oh yeah, I remember hearing bits and pieces," and that's like, there's so much going on in it. It's one of those passages that has, yeah, so many different parts to it. You've got the crowds on the beach who've obviously been following Jesus maybe for a long time. Maybe they've only just kind of caught up with him. You've got the other fishermen We don't know how many other fishermen, but probably would have been other fishermen on the beach who maybe would have been watching and kind of wondering what was going on and questioning some of what they saw. You've got Jesus and his teaching, which again, we're not actually told the specifics, exactly what he said when he sat in that boat and taught the people. But I wonder what he would have been sharing with them. You've obviously got Simon and his boat. You kind of think, did he know Jesus before this point? What do you thought? Who is this guy? Get out of my boat. You know, what are you doing here? You don't look like a fisherman. Or would he actually go, no, that's fine. But would he have been puzzled? Would he have been confused? Would he be thinking, what is happening here? You've got, you know, James and John we're told about, or the other boat. You know, in that moment when suddenly the boats start to sink. And then you've got the fish. You think of, I mean, they're quite a key part in the story. You know, again, where did they all come from? They suddenly jumped in the nets. It's one of those passages that you could almost pull apart and look at in so many different ways. As I said, though, following on from our game of reactoface, I want to think this morning with you about some of the reactions that we see in this story, particularly thinking about Simon Peter and his reaction and Jesus's reaction, and what do they mean for us? What could they mean for us as we live today in 2015? What could this story, what difference could it speak into our lives now? I don't know if you could put your hand up for me if you've ever met someone famous. Have you ever met someone famous? Okay. Okay, hands down. You could put your hand up now if you've been kind of in near someone famous. You've not actually met them, but they've maybe been kind of the other end of a room or maybe the other end of a kind of side of a big fence that you're not allowed to cross, that sort of thing. Okay. I don't know if you ever wanted to meet someone famous, but it's that idea that you want to get near them, don't you? Maybe you want to get their autograph. Obviously, these days you want to get a selfie with them. That sort of thing. You want to be by these people. A lot of people do, don't they, in the world today? They want to rub shoulders, as the phrase goes, with people who supposedly are famous, celebrities, or whatever we might call them. It's interesting. Simon's reaction to Jesus is not one I want to get near to you. It's actually get away from me. In that moment, when he says, you know, he realizes who Jesus is, he says, I'm unworthy, you know. And, you know, I'm not sure where he could have gone being in a boat. But he says, you know, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And I think in that moment, he realized who Jesus was. His reaction was one because he'd gone, oh, I get who you are. How amazing you are, how awesome you are, how wonderful, how brilliant. And he probably didn't completely get who Jesus was in that moment, but he grasped something of who Jesus is. I wonder what our reaction to Jesus is. I wonder how we react with the opportunity to get to know him, to be his friend, to become a Christian, however we might want to phrase it. What's our reaction to the opportunity to get to know Jesus? Is he just a nice guy? Is he someone who, he lived a long time ago sort of thing, and you can read about him from a few thousand years back or whatnot? Is he someone who we pull out when we need a bit of help? When life falls apart and things go wrong, we'll then go, oh yes, Jesus, I need you now, and help me. Is he someone maybe who, as you sit there, you go, actually, he's someone who's done amazing things in my life. Maybe actually because of Jesus, I'm here today because of what he's done and his power in my life. It's asking that question, is Jesus Lord of our lives? That's the statement that Simon said, he called him Lord. As in, he was, going to be number one. Is that our reaction? You see, as I look at this, I think Simon Peter was just right, because Jesus is amazing. I also think he was right, because he didn't deserve to be anywhere near him. And I don't think any of us actually deserve to be anywhere near him. But as we'll consider shortly, Jesus' reaction says something very different. I'm going to hand over to Andy Garlick now, who's going to come and potentially make some presentations and share some bits and pieces.
As you're seated,
so we thought about Simon's reaction. I want to briefly think about Jesus' reaction now. Again, I've got a question. Has anyone ever been in a boat? Anyone ever been in a boat? Doesn't matter what size, whether it was a massive kind of cruise liner as big as an island, whether it was so small that you couldn't really fit in it yourself, sort of thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been in a fishing boat. Okay, I've been in various different boats, but I've never actually been in a fishing boat, certainly not kind of going fishing. I've fished kind of, or I've thrown a rod into the side of a lake quite often, but never caught much. But I, you know, I've been in boats, but never been in actually a fishing boat. Now, I'm pretty sure, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, that boats are designed to float. Would we agree? Generally, that's the idea. If you make a boat, you hope it's going to float, don't you? If you haven't got that aim, then I don't think you're really meant to be a boat builder. In this story, we don't read about one boat starting to sink. We read about two boats starting to sink because of the amount of fish that they are holding onto in this net. Okay. Again, these boats, they would have been built to float. And I'm sure they had floated, maybe for many years. I'm sure they'd caught loads of fish over that time. But on this time, this moment, this day, the amount of fish that they caught started to make them sink. And just imagining that, in many ways, it's I can't quite get my head around it. That is a serious amount of fish. Now, if we look at this story, it's amazing catch of fish. Simon's saying it, you know, in response to it, saying, "Lord, get away from me, because you know you are something else. You are awesome. You're amazing. You just And someone says, "And me, I'm a sinful man. I shouldn't be anywhere near you." Because compared to Jesus, he was nothing. And Jesus could have responded, kind of, "You're quite right, Simon. Yeah, actually, you are nothing. You know, you are simple. Yeah, get away from me. Can you jump out, please, and just make your own way back to shore? Because actually, yeah, you shouldn't be anything." He could have said something along the lines of, kind of, if you put it that way, actually, yeah, I do see your point there. You know, Jesus didn't. Jesus' response to Simon was one of, "Come, follow me. You're no longer going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. You're going to catch women. You're going to catch people as you come with me and we go on this amazing adventure." And I think in many ways, as well as that question, have we recognized who Jesus is? Thinking about Simon's reaction, I think our second question is, what's our response to Jesus when we have that opportunity, that invite to follow him and to be a part of this amazing adventure, telling others about him? What's our response? What's our reaction going to be to that? And I want us, as we kind of draw our time to a close this morning, I want us that there's been two different ways, particularly, that we can respond this morning. Maybe this morning, for the first time, something's just kind of hit you and it's just gone, "Yeah, Jesus is Lord. And I can follow him. I can get to know him. I can be his friend. I can have him in my life." And maybe our response this morning is one of saying yes to Jesus. There's lots of kind of different words we can use, but ultimately it's about that choice to say, "Yes, I want to live my life for you." I often think of four things to think through. One is, it's about admitting that I do things wrong. It's about believing that God loves me, God's created me, God wants to know me. It's about counting the cost. And actually, if I'm going to follow Jesus, then I need to maybe do things differently. I need to start doing some things. I need to stop doing some others. And then it's about deciding. That decision that only we can make for ourselves. No one else can make it for us. And as we worship in a moment, if that's something that you want to do this morning, or maybe you've got questions around kind of what does it mean to actually get to know Jesus, or what, you know, this reaction that Simon had in Jesus, then I just want to invite you. There's going to be some of the prayer team, people who will talk and pray with you. I think they're going to be in the foyer. I'm looking at Andy, had a prayer team next time. So through in the foyer. Okay, if you want to go and talk or pray with someone, then that would be great. The other response I think we can make this morning is, if we've decided to follow Jesus, what are we going to do about it? What difference is it actually going to make in our lives tomorrow, the day after that, the week after that, and so on and so forth? And to help us think about that, we've got three of these boards. Okay, there's one here, there's one that's going to be unfolded, that's just by John up there, and then there's one up the top. Okay, and next to the boards, there are loads of bits of card. There's some pens as well. And what I want to invite you to do is, we're going to pass them all out, okay? And either do it, I'd encourage you, if you're here as a family or as a couple, to grab one between you, and just to write down on the piece of paper all the different places that you go, maybe in a week. Just think of all the different places. So it could be the fact that you go to school, the fact that you go on a bus, maybe you get to school, you go to work, you go to the shops, you go to the swimming pool, you go to the beach, you go to, I don't know, you go out in your car, you go to meet people, all these different things. Write down all the different places. And what you want to do, then bring it, and there's some blue tack by the boards as well, and just, we're going to build up through just a big picture of all the different places we can go. As we say maybe, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to make a difference for you wherever I find myself. And it starts as I go to the shop tomorrow. It starts as, you know, I take the kids to school. It starts as I, you know, go and meet with my friends. Wherever I find myself, how am I going to follow Jesus in these places? And we're going to worship as we do that. So what I want to do is say, if the piles over the back and down the front, if we could have some volunteers to come and help. Everyone needs, if we could pass these out. So we'll go, if you're in a, so feel free to be chatting with those near you while you're waiting for your bit of card or your pen. It doesn't matter if it's somewhere you go maybe just for 5 minutes, whether it's somewhere you spend your whole day. Doesn't matter if it's somewhere you really enjoy going to, or it's somewhere you really wish you didn't have to go to. And then once you've written down and thought of all the different places, come and grab a bit of blue tack by one of the boards and blue tack it onto the board. And as we're going to sing and we're going to build up a big picture, if you will, and loads of different places that we are going to go out from into this week and beyond.